Come on, you can do better than that. Come on. Come on, just a little bit more. There.
Handsome and debonair. Do you guys know anybody like that around here? Yeah, I think Brad. No, Pastor Marty, you were my backup. But I work out with Bradley all the time, and Bradley's like one of the strongest guys I know. I'm not so sure about the other two qualifications, but he definitely is strong. His wife would say he's handsome, and I suppose there's others who would say he's debonair. So Bradley, would you help me out here for a moment? We need somebody to come and do some amazing feats of strength for us. So I don't know if you need to like stretch or warm up or anything, man. Come on, you know he like in the gym in the morning. I mean we're together and you know he's like always encouraging me and you know like you need to stretch and you need to you know
get lower.
He's always telling me to get lower in those squats. Yeah, I would do that, but I'd probably rip my pants tonight. But no, you did not. You did not. So he is one of the strongest guys I know. But we're, you know, like anything, like when we're in the gym doing weights and stuff, we always start off a little bit lighter and then we work up, right? And so Bradley, I got something here, just to get warmed up here. I got this string here, and I just want to see if you're strong enough to break that for us. Could you do that? Yeah, just. Oh, not a problem at all. That he didn't even break a sweat. Did not even break a sweat. All right, Bradley. That was just a warm-up. All right, we got another one here for you. He kind of looks like the picture, too, don't you think? Yeah.
You want me to break this, too?
Yeah, could you do that one for us? Not too bad, not too bad. All right. He's pretty strong here.
You know, we're live on Facebook, right?
Oh, no. We're live? All right, buddy. All right, come on. Give that a good old, let's see if you can break this one. Come on now. I know you are. Oh, no, come on now. Oh. All right. Well, thank you, Bradley. All right. All right. I would say that was some pretty amazing feats of strength. The reason I picked those is it goes with what I want to share with you tonight. A scripture from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and some of you will recognize this. The scripture says this, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up, but pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. All right. So that's in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Now, I know most, if not all of you know this. Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon, King Solomon. King Solomon was David's son and had the tremendous privilege of following after Israel's greatest king. And he was afforded all of the opportunities of growing up in the household of King David. And God had promised to David that he would always have someone after him to sit upon the throne. And Solomon was that son who took the reins of the kingdom following David. And you can read in 1 Kings chapter 3, when Solomon came into his position as a king, God appeared to him and told him he could have anything he asked for. And I don't know about you, but if I had the opportunity and God said, you know, kind of like a genie in a lamp, you know, like anything you want, you know, I know myself, I know where my mind would go. You know, we could all use a little more money. You know, we could all use a little more power. But Solomon had a real heart for God and a real heart of wisdom. And he says this to God, and I'm paraphrasing. He basically says to God, you know, being a king over your people is an awesome, awesome responsibility, and I need wisdom to know how to govern these people. And so God was just really blessed by that, and he says to Solomon, because you didn't ask for wealth, because you didn't ask for power, because you didn't ask for revenge over your enemies, I'm going to give you what you've asked for, but I'm going to give you wealth and honor also. And so Solomon was the wisest of all of God's kings. And some would say even to this day, he was the wisest ruler of all time. And so here's the wisest person of all writes these words, among others, in the book of Ecclesiastes for us. Almost 3,000 years ago. It was about 900 BC when he penned these. And the wisdom of those words are still wise for us today. And so we need to listen to what this wise man had to say to us under the inspiration of God. And so among the things he said to us, he was given that opportunity because of his position, because of his wealth, because of the time of peace in which he was ruling. The book of Ecclesiastes starts off telling us that he set his mind to search out everything under heaven that would possibly bring joy and pleasure in life. And you can read all about it through the book of Ecclesiastes. I encourage you to do that. But when you come to chapter 4, he makes these observations that I just think are so critical and key in our lives. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about a cord of three strands that's mentioned there, a cord of three strands. And what he has to say here from so many years ago is still applicable to this very day. Still applicable. What does he say in verse 9? He says, two are better than one. There's an old song, and I don't remember who sang it, but it said, one is the loneliest number. Right? One is the loneliest number. Right? And that's what he says in verse 9. Two are better than one. One is the loneliest number. And we're going to look at some reasons why he says that. But before we do, I'm going to take us a little bit further back in the Bible. I'm going to take us back to the book of Genesis. And you remember how the opening chapters of Genesis are? They recount God's creation and the 6 days of creation, and then the seventh God rested. And at the end of each day, there's a refrain that says this, and God looked upon it and said it was good. In Genesis chapter 2, there's an unusual phrase that appears. When he looks at his creation of man, the height of his creation, he looks at Adam, who's created in his image and in his likeness, and he notices something about Adam. What does he notice in Genesis chapter 2? He notices that Adam is alone. And in that passage, God looks at Adam and he says, it is not good that man should be alone. Everything up to this point in creation is good. This is the first time in Scripture we hear the phrase, not good. Now, Pastor and others will tell you, when you come across something in Scripture that occurs for the first time, it's important to note it. This is the first not good of the Bible. What's interesting about it is, if you were to ask most people what the first problem in the Bible is, they would go to the next chapter. They would go to Genesis chapter 3, and they would point to Adam and Eve's sin and rebellion against God. Well, that's a mighty big problem, but that's not the first problem of Scripture. The first problem is chapter 2, when God says it's not good for man to be alone. What's interesting about that is what? Adam had a perfect relationship with God. Sin has not entered into the picture yet. He's got the best environment in which to live. He's got command over everything in creation. And so a lot of people think, you know, if I just had a better job, if I just had a better place to live, if I just had this, my life would be perfect. If I just had a perfect relationship with Adam had all that. And God said it wasn't good, and so he created a helper for him in the person of Eve. The point I'm trying to make is this: it's not good to be alone. God created us for relationships. And we'll talk about a relationship with God, but we live out our relationship with God in context of relationships with one another. And so God looks at Adam in his aloneness, and that's been a principle all through. And so what happens in chapter 3 is sin enters in and destroys that relationship between man and God, but it also destroys the relationship between Adam and his spouse. And so sin isolates us, and God wants to move us out of isolation into a relationship where we can be blessed of God and protected of God. And so I think Solomon perhaps has this in mind as he talks about this cord of three strands. Why is two better than one? Well, he gives us some reasons here. There's four of them that I noted here. The first is, he says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. Right? There's a fancy word for that. It's called synergy. Synergy is that the combined efforts of two or more parties is greater than the sum of the equal parts. So mathematically, we would say 1 plus 1 equals 2. But in synergy, 1 plus 1 equals 3 or 4, right? And so we see this principle lived out, and Solomon notes it. They have a good return for their work. You've all done this. You've got a job to do. It's hard. You know, it's going to snow Sunday night. Monday morning, find your snow shovels. You're going to need them Monday morning. Would you rather go out there in the morning by yourself, slugging away with the snow shovel? Or do you get more work done faster if a buddy joins in with you and the two of you start shoveling together? Always better when you have more involved, right? So farmers know this, at least old farmers know this, when they would yoke up oxen together to do work. One pulls a load that's, I don't know what they pull. I grew up in the city. I have no idea what oxen pull. What's that? They pull plows, yes. I don't know. Can they pull a load, let's say, of 500 pounds. And another one pulls a load of 750, but together, it's not 1,250, it's 1,500 pounds they pull, right? We see the same principle as guys at the gym in the morning. You know, when there's days, you know, nobody else shows up, and it's just one or two people there, you know, depending on who the one or two are, you know, you slough off a little bit, right? But another one shows up, and they're pushing you. They're calling you out on it, and all of a sudden you find out you can do more together than you can do by yourself. Two are better than one because you have a good return for your work, right? You have a good return for your work. The second thing it says is two are better than one because when you fall down, you have someone to help you up. A helping hand when you fall, right? Now, my version here says, if you fall. Well, let me just go a little bit further, because it's not if. It's not if, it's when you fall. We all stumble and fall, James says, right? In the book of James, chapter 3, verse 2. We all stumble in many ways. And the writer of Hebrews talks about the sin that so easily besets us. Satan knows your weak spot. He knows my weak spot. And there are things that trip us up and cause us to stumble and fall. None of us are exempt. The Apostle John says, if we say we have not sinned, we lie. And the truth isn't in us. We all stumble and fall. We all do. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Right? So two are better than one, because if you stumble and fall, there's somebody that can help you back up onto your feet. We need people who'll do that for us. Right? So we need that helping hand. I have no idea what time it is. Oh, okay. We're doing all right. All right. There's a clock back there, but I can't see it. Because you throw something at me if we get going too long, okay? All right, so a helping hand to get you. The Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 6 tells us this. In verse 2, he says, we have a responsibility. Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Right? That is what Scripture commands us to do as brothers and sisters in Christ, to bear one another's burdens. Right? We're not designed to go it alone. We need one another. We get a good return on our work. We have someone there to help us when we fall. And guess what? When you're not the one falling, the other one may be, and you're there to help them up. Right? We all stumble and fall in many ways. We're to bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ, by the way? Jesus was asked about the greatest of the commandments. And he said, the greatest of the commandments is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. When we bear one another's burdens, we are fulfilling that law. When we're helping one another, when we're caring for one another, and we're helping each other up, we are fulfilling the law of Christ. We make it too complicated sometimes. I don't think Jesus ever meant it to be complicated. Bear one another's burdens. Be a helping hand. And when you fall, we live in this age of rugged individualism. We grew up in it in this country. Our country was birthed in it. It's inbred into us. And I think it's a part of our sin nature. I don't need anybody. I don't need your help. No, we do. We were created for that. We need that. We need that helping hand. The third thing it says is also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Yeah. So the third thing that we see is that we keep each other warm. Now, I know where some of your minds are going. You know, one of the things I'm very thankful for, I'm thankful for my wife. You know what? Can I preach about on a cold night? There is nothing better than laying next to a warm body. But just make sure it's your wife and not somebody else's. But there was a time in my ministry before I came back to Western New York. Nancy and I went up. We were church planters among the military up at Fort Drum. We were up in the Carthage, Watertown area. We started a church among the military. And so we had these young soldiers over to our house all the time. And I got to know a couple of them very, very well. They were my cord of three strands, Hank and Jamie. I still stay in touch with them to this day. And they were young. They were stupid at times. They were knuckleheads. They were... Pastor Marty, I know you don't have any like that, but these were the guys I used to have to call up on a Sunday morning and say, are you getting out of bed and coming to church or not? You know? There were a few of those guys. These were them. You know? And later, one of them came back to me later and said, I'm so sorry. I could have been so much more help to you. But, you know, they got their lives together and they're serving the Lord and it's all good now. But it was work. But they were soldiers, and they were infantry soldiers. I was not an infantry soldier. I was a Navy guy, right? So I this was kind of foreign to me. But we were talking about this verse, about two lying down together. And they told me about when they're out on field exercises. Navy, we don't do field exercises. We go back to our barracks or our air-conditioned rooms and you know, our bunks. And, you know, these guys were sleeping out in the field. And they would put this verse to practice in a very practical way. It wasn't anything sexual. It was survival. Their ponchos were designed to be zipped together. And they could sit back to back and put the ponchos around themselves and zip up. And collectively, their body heat would keep them warm through the night out in the field. I think that's what Solomon has in mind here when he says, how can you keep warm unless two lie down together? He's talking about survival, not sexual things here. He's talking about basic survival out in the world. He's talking about survival out in the wilderness. I think David, as a shepherd boy, knew something about it on cold nights out watching sheep. I don't know this, but I have a feeling that these shepherds would probably huddle together and use their collective body warmth to keep them warm at night. Right? It was a survival thing. And if we're going to survive and thrive in what God wants us to do, we need each other. Right? I think that's what he's talking about here. How can you keep warm alone? More practical thing, I love to barbecue. I love to eat. I was telling somebody earlier, I said, I want a shirt. You know, some of you may remember René Descartes, the French philosopher. He's the one who said, I think, therefore I am. Right? I have one that fits for me. It says, I eat, therefore I run. Right? So, with a fire when I'm cooking, I love to eat. I love to cook. I love to eat. But you know this, with fires, whether it's a campfire or your charcoal barbecue pit, what happens when that one coal gets off to itself? It dies out. It's no longer warm. It goes cold on it. Right? You move it back, and it reignites. It heats back up, right? So I think one of the greatest strategies of Satan is to get you alone, to get you out from the others and to isolate you. I was watching a show not too long ago on television. It was on public television. I know I'm a boring person. But on public television, they were talking about wolves. And they were talking about the strategy of wolves going after food, right? So they're going after whatever was running around. Let's use deer, for example. And who do they go after? They go after the one that trails behind, the one that falls off. And when they're in the pack, they're pretty invincible. But when they can get one isolated, He's gone. It's just a matter of time, and he's gone. He's gone. Right? There's safety in numbers, right? If two lie down together, they'll keep warm. But how can they keep warm alone? We need each other. So we've got a good return. We've got a helping hand. We're there to help each other in our survival by keeping each other warm, as he uses here as a figure. And then the fourth one is this, and this is really, I think, kind of summarizes the whole thing. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. It's defense against the enemy, right? By ourselves, we're vulnerable. By ourselves, when we come under attack, we're going to fall more easily. But when there's two of us, and even better yet, three of us, we can defend ourselves. We can defend ourselves. I think of a couple of pictures in Scripture in the book of Nehemiah. As Nehemiah sets about rebuilding the wall, they come under attack, right? And these were people who weren't all that well trained in terms of a military, right? But God's called them to a work to do, and their lives are being threatened. So what does Nehemiah do? He says to the men, I want half of you to work on the walls. I want the other half of you to stand guard and to protect those who are working. And then they would trade places. They took turns doing that. But they were working together. They were defending one another as that cord of three strands. They could defend themselves. By themselves, they were fair game for the enemy. But together, they could defend themselves. You watch pictures of soldiers in combat. And they always go out and patrol in small groups. They always go out protecting each other. Right? And so that same principle has to apply to us spiritually. And so Solomon, in his wisdom, tells us that two are better than one. And even better than that is what? A cord of three strands. Three is even better. So here's the big question. Here's the big question for tonight. Who's got your back? Who's got your back? Who's got your back? I want to suggest to you there's three strands you need in your life. Three strands you need in your life. The first is this. You need a spiritual mentor in your life. You need a spiritual mentor. You need somebody who's older, maybe not older in age, but older in experience, older in their Christianity, older in their spiritual walk to be a mentor to you. It doesn't have to necessarily be somebody chronologically older, though often it is. But Paul wrote to a young man named Timothy and said, don't let anyone despise you because you are young, but set an example for the believers. Right? He had given to Timothy the task of pastoring the church. And there were people who said, what's this young guy know? Paul says, no, don't let them look down on you. You be the example for them. So it's not an age issue, but it is a spiritual issue. You need somebody in your life who's a spiritual mentor. That could be your pastor. But pastors are busy people, especially if they have a lot of people in their congregation. I've been very fortunate. I've been a part of small churches from the time I became a believer that I've had a close relationship with pastors who were my spiritual mentor. But they weren't the only ones. When I first came to Christ as a sailor in the Navy, there was a guy, I don't know how much longer he had been a Christian than I had, but he got up in the morning at 5 in the morning and came knocking at my door. It's time to get up and have a quiet time, Pat. And we'd go out into the day room of our barracks, and I didn't know what he was talking about, but we'd open the Bible, we would read, and we would pray. He set that in motion to now, these many years later, it's still a habit. It's still a habit because I had a spiritual mentor who helped guide me in those things. That needs to be one of the strands in your life. You need to allow somebody in your life who will be that mentor for you. Look around. Find that person. God has them for you. A pastor, a godly man, a godly woman. Men, it better be a man. Women, it better be a woman. It does not work the other way around. You're just asking for trouble. All right? Just going to put that out there. Right? The second strand is this. Not only a spiritual mentor, family. And I know not everybody has Christians in their family. You may be the only one in your family, but you've got Christian friends. Those are your peers. Those are your comrades, if you will. Those are your partners. I'm so glad I have a Christian wife. She calls me on the carpet a lot of the times. I give her lots of reason to. You know, she's a lot smarter than me. Yeah. Most wives are, guys. I'm just saying. Most wives are. I had a kid today, I was substitute teaching, and he said, why do you always agree with the girls? I said, because they're usually right. You're knuckleheads, you eighth grade boys. Another boy saying to a girl, like, he was like, I said, hey, I got a word for you. You better get used to. And he says, what's that? I said, single. Single. All right? But you need those people in your life, not just the mentors. You need those people who are around your life who are there to encourage and support you. Think about the people in Scripture. David. Who was in David's life? He had his buddy Jonathan. Right? Saul's son. They had a unique relationship, and they trusted each other, and they watched each other's back. He had a Jonathan, and Jonathan had a David. When you read about Jonathan dying and David grieving, yeah, I mean, there was a close bond between those guys. Think about even Jesus. I don't know if you think about this often, but Jesus in his humanity, he surrounded himself with people. Right? He wasn't just imparting life to them. He relied on them. Now, he chose 12 to come and be with him that he called his disciples. One of them, we find out, turned out to be a traitor. But even within the 12, there were three. Peter, James, and John. And there are those times when Jesus leaves the others, the nine, and he takes the three, and they go up onto a mountain to pray. You know, and when Jesus is going to the cross, he asks them to stay there and pray. Now, we know they let him down and so on, but he confided himself in them, and they worked together. He entrusted himself to them. If Jesus needed others, I'm thinking I do too, and so do you. Right? And so we need those people. I mentioned two soldiers up at Fort Drum, Hank and Jamie. We used to meet together, and we called ourselves a cord of three strands. We took this verse, and we would meet, and we would ask each other's questions, and we would probe into each other's life, and we would encourage each other and spur one another, as Scripture says, on to love and good deeds. And then the third strand, you guys said it earlier, but, you know, without Jesus, the others don't matter, right? I mean, that has to be primary, right? But I put it last because there's this mentality that is, you know, as long as I got Jesus, I don't need anybody else. Just me and Jesus. Sometimes, sadly, that happens, but that ain't the way it's supposed to be. But we do need Jesus. I don't want to leave him out, right? He's the friend that, in Proverbs it says, that sticks closer than the brother. He's the one who won't let us down, who will never desert us, he'll never leave us. Without him, everything else is pointless. And so, where are we time-wise, Pastor? Oh, 8:02, time to go. All right, let me tie this up here. Good thing I brought some rope. Big question. As you look at those three, you got them? Do you have those people? Is one of them missing? You saw what happened. You saw what happened. The cord of one strand. If you're trying to do it alone, you're going to break. You're going to break, and you're going to break, and you're going to break. Two, get with Jesus. If you haven't trusted him, I don't know everybody. I know some of you, but I don't know where you're at with the Lord. Have you trusted in him? The scripture is really clear. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, right? If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's as simple as that. If you've never trusted in Jesus, I would do it tonight, right? But look at the others. Do you have that mentor in your life? Do you have those people around your life? Listen, I come to Tuesday mornings because I need that. It's so refreshing for me as a pastor who's always giving out to be able to come to a place where I'm not responsible for it. And I got guys around who are sharing what they're learning in God's Word. I need that. You need that. We all need that. You need to put yourself in those places. You need to make that a priority so that you can stand strong. And then you need to have those wise people in your life who are speaking into your life. Speaking of wise people in your life, I heard a wise pastor one time that said, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. You need to have those people in your life who have your back. Pastor, let's close it up. Thank you.
Just incredible. Just incredible. Stay right up here with me. Just incredible. Can you give God another big hand clap for him? That was the best expository on Ecclesiastes 4 that I've ever heard in my life. That was the best explanation about two lying down together and keeping warm that I've ever heard. That was amazing.
Thanks, brother.
That was just amazing.
Thank you.
Paul, put that last slide up there again. Let me ask you something now. I know how old you are.
Yeah.
You're a lot older than I am, but it's okay. When we talk about, you know, when you started up here, you said, who's got your back? And I heard, you know, a few people go, God. And I wanted to get up and say, wait a minute, he's not done yet. And yes, God does have your back.
Yes, he does.
And you made that explanation really well, that you need more.
Right.
That you need that. And I loved how careful you were. You need Jesus, but you need other people too.
Right.
Tell me, just, I want you to take 90 seconds again and just say why that is so important, why we need other people.
We've always got to be growing, right? I mean, we've never fully reached the point that God wants us to be. There's always new territory. There's always places to grow into. And we need somebody who's been there before us to show us the way and bring us along. And I think that's the job of a spiritual mentor who can talk from their experience and their wisdom and be able to bring you along. I think that's what I look for in a spiritual mentor. No. And I'm thankful for guys I've had in my life who have done that for me.
So you still need a spiritual mentor?
Always.
Wait a minute. You still need a spiritual mentor?
Yeah, of course I do. Don't you?
Yeah, but I didn't.
But I'm not. You weren't the one speaking, though.
Yeah, you're. The point is, you need that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what level you grow in God.
Well, the Apostle Paul. I mean, if you think about people who, you know, you look up to and perhaps put on a pedestal like super Christian, Paul says, not that I've already obtained this, but I press on to the high calling for which I've been. I'm shooting off the hip here, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah, that verse in Philippians.
Saying.
I press on.
Yes.
You know, Paul had not arrived. And I'm thinking, if he hasn't arrived, neither have you or me.
Yeah. Just absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Amen. Go ahead. One more time.
Yeah.
So you may be here tonight. You may be a loner. I've met a lot of them. Mm-hmm. In the moment somebody gets close to that person, they move on to somewhere else.
True.
And they hurt themselves because they never allow people to get into their life and speak into their life what they need to hear at the moment. And we need that tonight. Mm-hmm. We really do. And thank God we have the ability with so many great people around us. And I preface tonight with saying what you did with my boys, just speaking that into them, and with Brad as well. So I want to pray for some people tonight. In fact, I want Brad to come up. Chris, I want you to come up. Maybe Ryan as well. And I'm going to just pray and close. But if you are challenged with that, if you feel alone, you know, the Bible says if you want a friend, what do? You show yourself friendly to them. If you want to get close to somebody, only one has to move, not both of you. Only you have to move. And the Lord, I just really sensed in my heart tonight that he really wants to help some people in that. We just want to pray for you before you leave, if that's you. If you're struggling with your walk with God, he wants to help you with that tonight. So I'm going to close in prayer. And Pastor Pat, I want you to come down here too and come and just tell him thank you again for coming. Or he'll pray for you as well if you need prayer before you leave tonight. I want you to come down. Let one of these men just stand with you and pray with you on that. Let's pray. And I'm going to close in prayer. And then if you need prayer individually, I just want you to come down tonight. Father, I just want to say thank you. I thank you for your servant. I thank you, Lord, for the gift of God that is not only on him, but in him. And thank you for the word of the living God tonight. God, so many times we need that. We try, and we even try to do things without you, let alone with you and with others. Help us, Lord, to be and stay connected, because we can do so much more together than we can alone. Lord, I just pray that tonight, God, you'll encourage every life, every individual, every family, God, and strengthen them and bless their lives in a beautiful way, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Thank you. God bless you so much. If you need prayer, you come on down tonight.